إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue as we approach the end of the fundamentals of Iman. The foundations or fundamentals of Iman. Ma'al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy upon him. For the past few days, for the last 3 days, we have been reading from this book, and the most of what we read was dealing with the concept of Iman itself. What is the meaning of Iman, definition of Iman, the concepts of Iman in Islam, and then we read some of the fundamentals of Iman, or all of them except one, yani there remains one. Yesterday we read the Iman in the angels and the revelations and the prophets and the last day. And what remains is Al-Qadr, Khayri wa Sharrihi. That is the divine decree, the good and the evil of it. And as we mentioned previously, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah intended in this speech to mention the fundamentals of Islam, the pillars of Iman, I mean, the arkan of Iman, in brief. And some of them he explained in a little more detail. And this is one of the pillars of Iman that he has explained in detail. And perhaps it is because it is probably the least understood, the one that is most misunderstood, that people don't understand. And it is of the utmost importance, since it is one of the arkan of Iman, one of the pillars of Iman, that we understand it. And so today, inshallah, we're going to read this last pillar. And the detail that he has given, and he is sufficient for a person to understand it thoroughly and correctly. Whoever understands it well, then they have benefited. And if there's any lack of clarity, then it just means that we have to go back and reread and reflect until we understand it completely. The Shaykh, he says, Iman in the decree, yani Al-Qadr. And sometimes this is referred to as Al-Qadr wal-Qadha. And the meaning of these two words are sometimes interchangeable, but when they are used together, each has its specific meaning. In any case, we are talking here about the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in it and accepting whatever comes to us that we consider or we see as being good or bad. All of it is by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever accepts what Allah has decreed, they have done well. The Imam says, likewise is belief in the decree, the Qadr. It is the sixth fundamental. We believe in it as it has come within the text, meaning as it has come within the Quran and the Sunnah. Iman in it comprises four things according to Ahlul Sunnah. And they are, the first matter is knowledge. And the Shaykh explains knowledge. But just for clarity, to put things in focus, we will say that these four matters are the knowledge, that Allah has knowledge of everything, the writing, that Allah has written it all down before it happens, and the will, that Allah, nothing happens except by the will of Allah, and the creation, that everything is the creation of Allah, the creatures and their actions and their characteristics, everything is created by Allah, and there is no creator other than Allah. Not as some of the disbelievers believe, that there is a creator of good and a creator of evil. There is only one creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything is by His decree, nothing is outside of it. So these are the four matters, al-ilm, the knowledge, al-kitabah, the writing, al-irada, the will of Allah, that everything is subject to His will, and al-khalq, the creation, that everything is created by Allah. So the first matter is knowledge. It is the fact that Allah, the Glorified and High, knew all things and enumerated them, and that nothing is hidden from Him. Majestic and high be He. He knows everything. As Allah has said in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 115th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Verily Allah is the All-Knower of everything. And this is the first matter of the four matters that comprise complete and correct iman in the Divine Decree, that Allah has knowledge of everything. By way of this, the extremists, Qadariya, and the Mu'tazila are refuted. Those who deny this knowledge, and they are refuted by this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and similar sayings, that indeed Allah is the All-Knower of everything. Those who deny this knowledge are refuted by this. Al-Imam Ash-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said regarding them, that is the people of deviation, the Qadariya and Mu'tazila, who deny that Allah has knowledge of everything. In other words, they say that Allah doesn't know what the creature is going to do until after the creature does it. He doesn't know beforehand. Al-Imam Ash-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said regarding them, investigate them regarding the knowledge, yani this aspect of the Divine Decree. How do they believe in it? If they affirm it, then they are just quarrelsome. And if they reject it, then they have disbelieved. And if they affirm that Allah is knowledge of everything, then they are just people who want to argue. That's why they are saying whatever they say. But if they actually deny that Allah is knowledge of everything, then they are kafirs. They have disbelieved. This is because our statement is that Allah is the knower of all things. This is the qadr, the divine decree. For nothing is hidden from Allah. So since Allah knows all things, then it is impossible for something to occur in opposition to His knowledge. This is because for them to occur in opposition, or for anything to occur in opposition to His knowledge, would denote ignorance. And if something happens that Allah has no knowledge of, that means that that is an indication of ignorance. And that's impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for if they reject that and say that He does not know things until after their existence, until after it happens, then this is kufr, disbelief, and dalala, misguidance, and denial of Allah, the Glorified and High. As well as, this is as well, describing Him with ignorance. This is a great form of deficiency, which necessitates the kufr, disbelief of the one who says it. Yani whoever says such, then of necessity, this person is declared to be a kafir. The second matter is writing, al-kitabah. It is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote all things. As Allah has said in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 22nd Ayat, وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبَرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَصِيرٌ. That no calamity befalls in the earth or in yourselves, but is inscribed in the book of decrees, yani al-lawh al-mahfuz, before we bring it into existence. And before it happens, before Allah causes it to happen, it's already written in a book. Verily, that is easy for Allah. And it's easy for Allah to already know this and to have it written even before it happens. Also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 70th Ayat, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَصِيرٌ. Know you not, or do you not know that Allah knows all that is in heaven and on earth? Verily, it is all in the book, اللَّوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ. Verily, that is easy for Allah. And Allah knows everything, and He has written it all down long before it happened. The point is that He wrote all things, Azza wa Jalla, as the two preceding verses prove, and as does the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam within the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ مَقَادِرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. That verily indeed Allah ordained, yani Allah wrote, decreed the measures of the creation of everything that He created 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth. And His throne was upon the water. And this is also a clear proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything long before He brought the creation into existence. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim in the Book of Decrees. The writing of things which Allah has brought into existence or which He will bring into existence is a matter which is known. It has come within the text of the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani this is a matter that is known. It is clearly indicated in the book of Allah, in the Quran, and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is incumbent upon the Muslims to know this. To know that Allah has written everything before it came into existence. To know this, and to understand it, and to believe in it without any doubt. That everything is already written before it happens. So we must believe in it. And believe that Allah wrote all things. He knows them. He knows all things. And He has enumerated them. Nothing is hidden from Him. And He knows all things and is able to do all things. As He, the Mighty and Majestic, has said, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That you may know that Allah has power over all things. And Allah is able to do all things. And that Allah surrounds or comprehends all things in His knowledge. In Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 12th Ayat. This is the second matter, the writing, Al-Kitabah, that everything is already written before Allah brings it into existence. The third matter is the authoritative will, yani Al-Irada Al-Qawniya. The universal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that covers everything, that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. And this matter is a matter that definitely requires comprehension. Yani, in order to understand that everything is subject to the will of Allah, we should know that there are two wills. Al-irada al-qawniya and al-irada al-shara'iyya. Al-irada al-qawniya, this is the will of Allah that covers everything, that nothing happens except it is subject to this will. But this will, it includes what Allah is pleased with and what Allah loves, and it also includes that which Allah is not pleased with and does not love. That nothing can happen except subject to this will. It must happen. If Allah wills in His irada qawniya, universal will, it must happen. But it includes things that Allah loves and that which Allah doesn't love. For example, Allah does not love kufr. But He has decreed in His universal will that some people will disbelieve. Allah is not pleased with kufr. Allah doesn't love kufr. But He has decreed it for wisdom, for purpose and objective. And it must happen. And then there's the irada shara'iyya. That is the legislative will of Allah, in which that it may or may not happen. When Allah wills something in His legislative will, that means He has made a law. He has legislated something, and it only includes what Allah loves. What He has legislated only includes what He loves and what He is pleased with. But this will, it may be executed or may not be executed. Allah wills that the people believe in Him and obey Him. He has legislated this. He has commanded us with it. But some people will obey and some people will disobey. So these two wills must be understood in order for a person to understand this concept of the irada of Allah, the will of Allah, that everything is subject to His will. So from His will is that which He has legislated, that He loves and that He's pleased with, and people may do it or they may not do it. And from His will is that which must happen, and it includes that which He loves and that which He doesn't love. And this will, if Allah wills it, it must happen. There is no escape from it. So the third matter is the authoritative will. The fact that whatever Allah wills and that which He does not will, whatever Allah wills is, and it will happen, it must happen. And that which He does not will is not, it will not happen. This is the universal will of Allah. It must happen if Allah wills it. But it includes that which Allah loves and that which Allah does not love. And there is nothing within His dominion which is outside of His will. Azza wa Jalla. Rather, that which Allah wills is, and it will be, even if the people do not will that. And that which Allah does not will not be, even if the people will it, even if the people want it. It is a must that one has iman in this will, that which Allah wills is, and that which He does not will is not. Yani that which Allah wills must be, and that which He does not will never happen. And this is understood from the Surah Takwir, 81st, Surah 28th and 29th ayah, saying of Allah, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To whomsoever amongst you who wills to walk straight, and he do it, whoever wills to go straight, and you will not do so unless it be that Allah wills, the Lord of the Alameen, the mankind, jinn, and all that exists. Yani in this ayat Allah is affirming that people have a will. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. If you will, then go straight. But Allah is also saying that Allah has a will, and the will of the creatures is subject to the will of Allah. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Will, if you will to go straight, then go straight. But you will not be able to do it unless Allah wills, who is the Lord of all the worlds. So the will of the human being, the human being has a will, but the human being's will is subject to the will of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Mudaththir, 74th Surah, 55th and 56th ayat, فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ وَمَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ هُوَ أَهْلُ التَّقْوَى وَأَهْلُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. So whoever willed, let him read it. Yani what Allah has revealed, the Qur'an, and receive admonition from it. Whoever wills, then let him read it and receive admonition from it. And they will not receive admonition unless Allah wills. He, Allah, is the one deserving that mankind should be afraid of Him and observe duty to Him. Yani observe taqwa and should not take any ilah along with Him. Yani that Allah is ahlul taqwa means that the people should observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him alone. And He is also Ahlul Maghfirah, He is the one who forgives sins, who grants forgiveness. The point is that Allah, the Glorified, has a perfect will which is authoritative, yani which is supreme and superior, and the will of the creatures is subject to His will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 82nd ayat, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أن يقول له كن فيكون. كن فيكون. Verily his command, when he intends, when he wills a thing, is only that he says to it, be, and it is. When Allah wills something, when he intends something, he merely says to it, be, and it is. Wa alaykum as-salam wa ta'ala. And this is in reference to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth matter is his ability over all things, bringing them into existence and creation. That Allah is the only creator and everything that exists is from the creation of Allah. We believe that He, glorified be He, is able to do all things and that He is the creator and the all-knowing. And He is the one who created and brought into existence all things that exist. Everything that exists. Likewise, in the future, none shares with Him in full control over that, yani in creation. Rather, He is the creator, the provider, and He is able to do all things, and He knows all things. As He said in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 62nd Ayah, Allahu khaliqu kulli shayin, wa huwa ala kulli shayin waqeel. That Allah is the creator of all things. Khaliqu kulli shayin. He is the only khaliq. There is no creator except Him. Allah is the creator of all things, and He is the waqeel over all things. Yani the trustee, the disposer of affairs, the guardian over everything. Iman in the decree comprises all of this. Yani all of these four matters. That Allah is knowledge of everything, that He has written down everything before He brought it into existence, that everything is subject to the will of Allah, even the will of the human beings is subject to Allah's will, and that Allah is the creator of everything. It comprises our belief in His knowledge of all things and His writing of all things, as well as our belief that that which Allah wills is. Yani, that which Allah wills shall be, and that which He does not will shall not be. And our belief that He is the creator of all things, and He is the one who created them and brought them into existence, glorified and exalted be He. In this is a refutation against he who speaks in opposition to this from the Mu'tazila and others, those who oppose this belief. For he who rejects the will of Allah and says that they exist in his dominion, that which he does not want to exist, then he is a belier or a denier of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, and one who belittles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a must that one have iman, that he is able to do all things, and that what he wills is, and that which he wants by way of his universal will is. Yani whatever the universe, whatever is subject to the universal will of Allah, whatever Allah wills in his universal will, then it must be. Whatever he wants by way of his universal will, it must be. As opposed to that which is in the irada shar'iyya, the legislative will, where Allah wills that people believe, that the people obey Him, that people pray. And yet some people don't do it. Some people do not believe. They do not obey Allah. They do not make salat. They do not fast in Ramadan. So that's the legislative will, what Allah has legislated, what He loves and what He's pleased with. The people may or may not do it. But as far as the universal will, whatever Allah wills in that, it must happen. It must be. Whether it is from that which Allah loves and is pleased with, or whether it is from that which Allah does not love and is not pleased with. Whatever is in the universal will of Allah, when He wills it in His universal will, it must happen. There is no escape from it. So whatever Allah wants by way of His universal will, it must be. However, for some of the people, these things which the messengers came with are hidden from them. Some people don't understand this concept. They don't know about this. They don't understand this matter. So it is obligatory for you to clarify them. Clarify these things for the people with the evidences and make clear to them the difference between the universal will, al-irada al-qawniya, and the objective of which is not opposed. Yani whatever Allah, whatever His objective is in the universal will, it cannot be opposed, it cannot be resisted. Nobody can act contrary to it. And it is that which is mentioned, yani the universal will, that must happen. It is that which is mentioned within the likes of his statement, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That verily his command, when he intends a thing, is only that he says to it, be, and it is. This ayat and ayats like this refer to the universal will of Allah that must happen. There is no escape from it. This is mentioned in Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 82nd ayat. And the legislative will, al-irada al-shara'iyya, the objective of which could be opposed. Yani what Allah wills in His legislative will, what He has legislated for the people, to obey Him, to pray, to fast, and to do good, this can be opposed. People may comply with it, or they may resist it. They may pray, or they may not pray. They may fast, or they may not fast. They may be truthful, or they may lie. So this will can be opposed, as it relates to some of the people. And it is that which is mentioned within His statement. This will is understood from the statement of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, this type of will, that only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with, but the people may comply with it or they may not. They may disobey, they may reject, they may resist, they may act contrary to it. In the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand this from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 26th ayat, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah wills to make clear what is lawful and what is unlawful. Allah wills to make clear, yani what He has legislated in His deen. He wills to make it clear to you and to show you the ways of those before you and to accept your repentance. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. Yani Allah wills, this is His legislative will, that which He loves and He's pleased with. He wills what? To make things clear for you. He wills to guide you. And He wills to accept your repentance. He wills that you repent so He can accept your repentance. But this may or may not happen. And in some people, it will not become clear to them. They will not listen. They will not reflect. They will not ask. So it won't be clear to them. They will be lost. Some people will not be guided. Some people will not repent. Even though that's what Allah wills in His legislative will, in His irada al-shara'iyya, that which He loves and that which He is pleased with, but the people might not comply with it. So it is known that some people die while being ignorant, yani without the matter becoming clear to them, without being guided. And some people die without repenting, even though Allah wants the people to repent to Him. Allah the Exalted said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. This is in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 28th ayat also. Allah wishes to lighten the burden for you. Allah wills, يعني يريد الله أن يخففه. He wants to lighten the burden upon you. But that may happen or it may not happen for some people. This is the legislative will. يعني that which Allah loves and is pleased with. For He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has lightened the burden for some people, and He has not lightened it for another people. The meaning of this is that He has commanded with this. Yani what's in His legislative will, He has commanded it. And He loves it, and is pleased with it. However, from the people, there is he who has not been granted success in this affair. And some people who have not been granted success in this affair, they have not been guided, they have not repented, they have not complied with what Allah has legislated and commanded and loves and is pleased with. And from them, there is he who has been granted success, who has complied with what Allah commanded and what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with in His legislative will. So there are some people who have been granted success in compliance with this, and some people have not been granted success. From that is that which has come within the authentic hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to some of the polytheists, the pagans, on the Day of Judgment, لَوْ أَنَّ لَكَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَكُنْتَ تَفْتَدِي بِهِ. If you had all that is within the earth to ransom yourself with, would you do so? And in Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will say to some of the pagans, if you owned everything that's in the earth, would you spend it to ransom yourself, to free yourself from being in the hellfire? Qala naam. And they would say, yes, we will give everything that exists if we had it to get away from this punishment today. Qala faqad sa'altuka ma huwa ahwanu min hadha wa anta fi sulbi Adam alayhi salam an la tushrik bi fa abayta illa an tushrika. And then it will be said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, so I have asked you for less than this. I didn't ask you for everything that exists in the earth. I asked you for less than this when you were in the backbone of Adam. Simply that you do not associate any in worship with me. Don't commit shirk. That's all. But you refused. You refused except to associate partners. You refused except to practice shirk. The meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I wanted from you, legislatively, and in the legislative will, that which Allah loves and is pleased with, I wanted from you in the legislative will, that you do not associate partners with me. This is by way of that which has come on the tongues of the messengers, yani that people avoid shirk and establish tawheed. This is what has come on the tongues of the messengers, from the command to worship Him alone, and the prohibition of associating partners with Him. However, most of the creation refused, except the association of partners with Allah, shirk, the mighty and majestic. And they did not accept the legislative will of Allah. So he who believes in these four matters, that is Allah's knowledge of all things, His writing of them, His will for that which exists, yani His will, His universal will, that everything is subject to His will, and understanding the difference between this and His legislative will, that people may comply with or they may reject and refuse and oppose from that which Allah loves and is pleased with. And He is the creator of all things, and the one who brought them into existence. And in believing that Allah has knowledge of all things, that He has written down everything before He created the heavens and earth, and that His will, everything is subject to His will, and He is the creator of all things that exist. These four matters. Then he who believes in these four matters has believed in the Qadr completely. And he who falls short in that, then he has fallen short in having iman in the Qadr. And he has not traversed or traveled upon the guidance of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in that. He has not believed in the Qadr in its reality. Rather, he believed in some of it and disbelieved in some of it. Moreover, iman in the Qadr does not necessitate that the abd, the worshipper of Allah, is compelled, having no will or volition, being like a leaf, and a leaf on a tree, which is moved by the wind here and there, or like a feather in the wind. And the Shaykh is saying here what? That the human being is not one that has no will. That's like a leaf on the tree, or a feather in the wind, that's just blown here and there without having no choice in the matter. Rather, the human being has a will to choose which way they want to go and what they want to do. If they want to be obedient or disobedient. The human being is not like the leaf that's blowing back and forth without any will. This is contrary to the Qadariya, the Mujabbira, from the Jahmiya and others. Rather, he has choice. Yani they said the human being has no choice. Rather, everything is decreed by Allah, it's fixed, and the human being is compelled to do whatever they do. If you decide to go out right now, get up and walk away, it's not by your choice. That's by compulsion. You're compelled to do it. You can't think and make any choice. This is what the Qadariya al-Mujabbira from the Jahmiya and others like them, this was their belief. Rather, the truth is that the human being has the choice and free will and volition, as well as the intellect with which to distinguish. The human being does have free will, limited free will, that's subject to the will of Allah. The human being does have free will, but it's subject to the will of Allah. And the human being has intellect to think about what he wants to do. and then a will to choose, and then the ability to act upon their will. So the Shaykh is saying here that these people are in error by saying the human being has no will. Rather, the human being does have the choice and free will, as well as the intellect with which to distinguish. However, this will and volition and choice are subsidiary, yani subject to the will of Allah, the Glorified and High. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, mentioned previously in Surah Al-Taqwiyah, 81st Surah, 28th and 29th Ayat, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَيَسْتَقِيمُ. To whomsoever amongst you who wills to walk straight, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you will not be able to do so, whatever you will, unless it be that Allah wills, the Lord of all mankind and jinn and all that exists. Therefore, the human being has a choice. Therefore, the human being has a choice. Inshallah, we're going to stop here after this point. Therefore, the human being has a choice, and he is driven. He is driven by his choice. He has a choice from the perspective that Allah gave him intellect and insight. He gave him indicators and tools and the ability to have iman and actions. So he is able. The human being is able, and he has free will and volition. He has the ability to stay away from disobedience and the ability to be obedient or to disobey. He has the ability to give charity and the ability to withhold it. He has the ability to take some money out of his pocket and put it in the charity. He has the ability to keep it in his pocket. I don't want to give up nothing. He has the ability to choose. The ability to do what he chooses. But the will of the human being is subject to Allah's will. So he has the will to choose, the intellect to think, and the ability to execute his will after he thought about what he wants to do. But still, the will of the human being is still subject to Allah's will. He is driven from one's perspective by his own will and ability to execute his will. And he is driven from another perspective, and it is that he has no will except after the will of Allah, and no choice except after the choice of Allah. He is not distinct. He is not independent in these things. The human being's will is a limited free will that's subject to Allah's will. It's not absolute. He can will that he wants to just live forever. Nah, the will of the human being is subject to Allah's will. He is not independent in these things. So he has a specific will and volition which is subsidiary to the will and volition of Allah. Due to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah to Yunus, 10th Surah, 22nd Ayat, هُوَ الَّذِي يُسَيِّرُكُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ حَتَّى إِذَا كُنْتُمْ فِي الْفُلْقِ وَجَرَيْنَا بِهِمْ بِرِيحٍ طَيِّبَةٍ وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا جَاءَتْهَا رِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ أُحِيطَ بِهِمْ دَعَوُا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ لَئِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And in this ayat, the Shaykh is using this ayat as a proof and an indication that the human being has a will and an intellect to think, an ability to execute his will, but that will is still subject to the will of Allah. That the human being is driven by his will, but his will is still subject to Allah's will. So he says in this ayat, it is he, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who enables you to travel through the land and the sea. And he who gave you the ability to travel through the land and the sea, whether it's upon the animals that Allah has created, or the ships that Allah gave you the brain and the intellect to be able to make by the will of Allah. The human being is able to travel through the land and through the sea. Allah is the one who made the human being able to do so. It is either that Allah has created the creatures that we travel upon, or he has given us the intellect and the will and the ability to make things that we travel upon. But all of this is still, yani, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is He who enables you to travel through the land and the sea. Till when you are in the ships, by your will, you chose to get on the ship and travel to one place or another. Till when you are on the ships, and they sail with them, with those people, with a favorable wind that you like, a nice wind that pushes the ship across the sea, and you are happy, and they are glad therein with what is going on at that point. That they got on their ship and they're traveling where they want to travel. And a nice wind is causing them to go where they want to go. Then that which we don't have any control over, that's subject to Allah's wills, come into play. Then comes a stormy wind that we don't will, that we don't want. And the waves come to them from all sides. And the human being is not pleased with this. This is not what they willed. This is Allah's will now. And they think that they are encircled therein. Then they invoke Allah, making their faith pure for Him alone. Yani mukhlis, yani with ikhlas. They call upon Allah, saying, if you, Allah, deliver us from this, we shall truly be of the grateful. We will be thankful. That is, until they are saved, they get back to land, then they start making shirk again. So the person traverses or travels upon his path, and according to his choice and his will, what he has decided, and he is driven by this, by his will, to do whatever he wants to do. He is driven by that which Allah created for him. What Allah created for him. His will, his intellect, and his ability. All of this is from the creation of Allah. So he is driven by this. By his will, what he has decided, and his ability to execute his will. While traversing or traveling with that which Allah has given him. Of intellect and choice and free will. And he is also driven by that which takes precedence, yani which supersedes, which his will is subject to. He is also driven by that which takes precedence from within the knowledge of Allah, from the authoritative decree, yani the irada, qawniya, the universal will of Allah that everything must be subject to, that nothing can escape from. He is also driven by this. And this will comes into play and brings about things that the human being didn't will, that the human being doesn't want. But yet Allah's will takes over. And whatever Allah wills in His universal will must happen. Must happen. There's no escape from it. So he is driven by his own will. He chose to get on the ship and go out to sea and travel to some place. But he is also subject to the will of Allah. So Allah has willed that a wind, a strong wind comes. And that the waves come from every side. And that takes over at this point. And he is driven to that which Allah created for him of good and evil. Yani whatever Allah has decreed in his universal will. So it is not possible for him to oppose that which Allah has decreed for him. Or to divert it from himself. You can't escape from this. With this, he is driven to that which he was created for. As the Prophet ﷺ said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له اعملوا do actions, act فكل ميسر لما خلق له for each one it will find it easy that which he is created for and each one will be facilitated in doing that which he has been created for and the Prophet ﷺ this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim the hadith of Ali رضي الله عنه may Allah be pleased with him And the Prophet ﷺ went on to say, as for the people of happiness, the people of sa'adah, the people who will be successful, will be in paradise, they will be driven to the actions of the people of happiness, the people of success, the people of paradise. They will be driven to that. And as far as the people of misery, shaqawa, the people who will be wretched, who will be unfortunate, who will be in the hellfire, they will be driven to the actions of the people of misery. The people who will be unfortunate, the people of the hellfire. And the people of success will be driven to do the actions of the people of success, the people of paradise. And the people of hellfire will be driven to do the actions of the people of hellfire. And then the Prophet ﷺ, after saying this, he recited the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Layl, 92nd Surah, 5th to 10th ayats, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى And as for him who gives in charity, and who does good by giving charity, who wills to give charity and do it, and keeps his duty to Allah, observes taqwa and fears Him, and believes in al-husna, that is the best, that is paradise, who believes in the promise of Allah, that if you do good, Allah will reward you. Whoever does, who gives charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears Him and believes in the promise of Allah, the husna, the paradise, then we will make smooth for him the path to ease, goodness. Yani the person who intend to do good and try to do good, Allah will make easy for them the doing of good. Allah will facilitate that for them. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. But as for him who is greedy, a greedy miser, who holds back from giving in the way of Allah, and thinks himself self-sufficient, meaning he doesn't have any need of Allah and His promise and His reward, and he belies the husna, the good, that is the paradise, the promise of Allah of paradise, he denies this, then we will make smooth or easy for him the path to evil. And the person who intends to do evil, who doesn't want to do good, then Allah will make easy for them doing of evil. He will make difficult for them the doing of good. He will make easy for them the path to the actions of the people of hellfire. This is as the Prophet ﷺ said in the previous hadith, act, do actions for every one of you. It will find it easy to do that which He has created for. So the people who are intended for paradise, Allah will make easy for them to do the deeds of the people of paradise. And the people who intend to do evil, Allah will make evil, will make easy for them to do the deeds of the people of hellfire. The authenticity of this hadith is agreed upon from the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. May Allah be pleased with him. From this, the believer knows the difference between the aqidah of the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, and the aqidah of the Mu'tazila, the Qadariya, those who, yani, who negate the Qadr. And they say the human being has absolute free will. And the Qadariya al-Mujabbira, those who say the human being has no free will, is compelled, who deny free will. We know the difference from this which has preceded, what is the correct belief in the Qadr, in the Iman in Qadr, and we know the difference between that and what the people who have deviated, some of them going to one extreme or the other, some saying the human being has no free will at all, rather he's compelled in whatever he does, and the others say that human being has absolute free will, and that Allah doesn't even know what the human being will do until after he does it. And then the Shaykh goes into some discussion concerning this matter. Inshallah, we'll complete it, and what remains tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So this is the end of what we can read today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any question? The last thing that I said? That was the last thing I said. Yani, the last thing the Shaykh is saying here is that from what has preceded, what he has mentioned from the Quran, ayats, and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it becomes clear what is the correct iman in Qadr, in the divine decree, the good and the evil of it. What's correct? And we can distinguish from the people who have deviated. Some people going to one extreme and other people going to the other extreme. One extreme is some people said the human being has no free will, that everything is decreed, fixed by Allah, and human beings compelled in everything that they do. They don't have any choice. They're just doing what they're compelled to do. That's one extreme. Human being has what? No free will. The other extreme is that the human being has absolute free will. The human being has absolute free will, that Allah has no control over the actions of the human being. In fact, they claim that Allah doesn't even know what the human being is going to do until after the human being does it. That's how absolute is the free will of the human being. Allah has no control of it. Allah doesn't even know what the human being is going to do. These are two extremes. And both of them are clear deviation. And whoever believes that, they have disbelieved in the Qadr. Now,
what is the difference between Qadr and Qadr?
Qadr wal Qadr Yani the qadr and Allah knows best, there's definitely a difference between them. Some of the scholars say that if these two expressions are used independently, then each one includes the other. In the same way that we discussed previously, that Iman and Islam, when they're used separately, Islam includes Iman, and Iman includes Islam. But when they're used together, then they take on their distinctive meaning. In the same way that we said about Islam and Iman, so likewise Qadr and Qadha, they, when they are used individually, each of them has the meaning of the other. But when they're used together, they take on their separate meaning, and that is, the Qadr is what Allah has pre-decreed. Yani what he knows is going to be, and He has written it, and decreed that this will be, and the Qadha is when He executes it, when He brings it into being, when He causes it to happen, and Allah knows best. Now,
so you
whatever happens, we know that it's definitely from the decree of Allah. Once it happens, before it happens, we don't know what will happen, right? But once it happens, we know that nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. So if something happens, we know that then this is what Allah has decreed. This was already written 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. It was already decreed, it was fixed. And this is so what? So that the person would not grieve over that which has passed them by, or that which has befallen them. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So that what? So that they will know, so the person will know that if Allah has decreed this, then they will not grieve. Because they know this is what Allah has decreed. And He's the Rabb, Rabbul Alameen. He is the one who loves His servants and intends good for His servants. So if Allah, who is our Lord, if He has decreed this, then we accept it. And we know that Allah doesn't decree any decree for the believer, for the human, for the believer. Allah doesn't decree any decree for the believer except that it is good for him. If we will be patient with it. So once something happens, we know that that's from the decree of Allah. Alaykum salam.
When we came to this world,
everything that happens already decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. 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 Inshallah, we'll complete this tomorrow. بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك.